If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Hello Pine Knob, the podcast about everything that's going on at the historic Entertainment Amphitheater located in Independence Township, Michigan, just north of Detroit. I'm your host, Gary Graff, and this is our final episode of the 2025 Pine Knob season. 41 shows that started back in June with Halsey and wraps up October 2nd with Alice Cooper and Judas Priest. With acts from just about every genre playing during the past 4 months, there's been something for every music fan, and certainly another season of shows that we'll be talking about for years to come. We'll start with our final Pine Knob photo feature of the season, this one coming from veteran metro area photographer Andrew Potter. Andrew's taking us out by remembering a shot of a rainbow he took from the other side of the lawn before a Lumineers concert during June of 2022, which seems like an appropriate way to cap our season of picture memories.
I was the house photographer at Pine Knob this night. This is in June of 22. The Lumineers were playing. And I was asked to go and photograph some like people shots and some ambience of Pine Knob. And normally I'm a big fan of having more than one camera, more than one lens on me and being prepared for everything. But we only had like 20 minutes before the show. And so I left my camera bag by the entrance by Trinity Health Area, east side of Pine Knob. And I just grabbed one camera body and a 70-200, which is a telephoto lens, so it zooms in pretty far. But it's great for getting candids and the kind of thing that we were looking for. And so I'm walking around Pine Knob, and it's just after some rain, and which actually makes for really great light and possible good moments. And we're kind of looking for people and everything. And I end up on, I guess, what would be the west side of the hill that overlooks the whole amphitheater. And I'm walking around the corner, and I notice just this absolutely perfect iridescent rainbow appear over the rim of the hill. And it's very behind the scenes. You're literally behind the audience, behind whatever's going on at the amphitheater. I mean, it could have been an opener or whatever, but people are kind of walking along the rim and getting their chairs, getting their blankets prepared, getting ready to enjoy the Lumineers, getting some drinks. And you can tell it's warm, but just cool enough to maybe throw a jacket on, especially after the rain. And I do not have the right lens. I simply don't. I have a telephoto lens. I could zoom in on a group of three of these people, but I'm not going to get even half a rainbow, let alone an entire rainbow in this shot. It's just impossible. And I am kicking myself because it is an absolutely magical moment. And I'm the house photographer and I'm not prepared for this moment. So I do what you got to do and work with what you got. So I reach in my pocket, pull out the handy iPhone 11, the full 12 megapixels, and I just take a dozen shots of this rainbow and this moment, and I get it the only way I can with the only technology that I have. And I get home, and it looks pretty good. It looks surprisingly good. You know, I was spending the entire time shooting the show kind of dreading opening the image on my computer, but I open it on my computer. I'm like, gosh, it's pretty all right. So I just do some extremely minor adjustments, you know, bring up the shadows, down the highlights a little bit, and out pops a very, very convincingly professional photo of this rainbow rim of the back hill just before the Lumineers are about to go on, the moment before a show, when the audience is just anticipating the act and ready to have a great night.
You can check out Andrew's photograph via 313presents.com. As we previously noted, Pine Knob's last 2025 show takes place Thursday, October 2nd, with homegrown shock rock king Alice Cooper, who's been a regular visitor to the venue, as recently as last August when he was joined on stage by fellow Motor City rock icon Suzy Quatro. Alice now lives in the Phoenix area, but tells us that you can take the boy out of Detroit, but...
Well, that's my Detroit audience. So, I mean, you know, that's to me is my prime audience. Everybody looks at Detroit as being a target city. You know, you look at your itinerary and you go, okay, New York, LA, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, those are going to be really good big shows and all that. Every band looks at Detroit and goes, uh-oh, we got to really be good. Detroit is a target city. It's the hard rock capital. We better bring it that night because that audience is a hard rock audience and they're used to getting, you know, full energy from everybody. So that's a great reputation to have.
Judas Priest, who's joining Alice and Corrosion of Conformity on tour right now, understands Pine Knob's reputation as well, according to frontman Rob Halford.
We've been to Pine Knob together forever, have we? Where do we usually play in that part of the world? Something amphitheater, arena, or something.
It's iconic. There are a number of venues, particularly the amphitheater outside venues, that are iconic. They're legendary for all of the artists that have performed there in every musical sphere. So that's not lost on me when I, you know, drive backstage and get into that environment, because it's just got so much history and legacy attached to it. And of course it's connected with Detroit, and I was talking to somebody about Detroit yesterday and the fact that Alice is from Detroit, and just the fact that there's that great kind of blue collar connection in that region. It was like made for metal, that venue. So it's going to be great to go back there and celebrate and party in this really, really special tour.
Halford, in fact, lives in the Phoenix area, where he and Alice Cooper have become tight friends over the years.
He's just a wonderful, wonderful human being. I've known him, seems like forever. As you know, we're neighbours in Phoenix, practically neighbours. And I've done a lot of work with him for his Solid Rock Foundation, which is just beautiful, you know. He's so pure and he gives so much, that side of Alice, you know. So we've done many, many things together in recent years, and I'm always there when I can be to do what I can for that organisation, because it's such an important thing. But the last time we actually toured together was Operation Rock and Roll. Alice Cooper, Judas Priest, Motorhead, Dangerous Toys, and Metal Church. It was a kind of an economic financial disaster on all fronts, because I think a war was kicking off. There was a war kicking up somewhere in the Middle East. Most of these bands, including Priest and Alice, we'd done respective tours quite recently. And so there was a lot of nervousness, I think, in not only America, but in the rest of the world. So people putting the money down for a ticket. It was kind of risky. However, that's when I first ever met Alice. You know, I did go and see him on his Welcome to My Nightmare tour, which is incredible, where he started, it was a huge screen, and he started running towards a screen, getting closer and closer and closer, and then he stepped through the screen. You know, it's like, oh, my God, what an amazing start to a show. So he's just a bit like Ozzy. There is no other Alice Cooper. You can't talk volumes about that man and just never even scratch the surface. And he's so removed from so many things. And what I'm trying to say is he's immersed in Alice Cooper, the show, you know. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on in his private life. He's intensely private. And so you get this little bit like Ozzy again. You get this image, this face, this personality that's really scary. You know, it's just like, what is this guy like? We all know the lovable Alice. And I love the fact that he goes, that's not me on stage, that's Alice, you know. He still says, that's the alter ego. Alice is a person. Alice is a psyche. Alice is this. So the idea of Alice and the Metal God is pretty cool in terms of frontmen personalities, you know, because I've said to you before, when I get dressed and I get ready to work, I change, and I know Alice is the same. When he gets ready, you look at himself in the mirror, you change. It's just this remarkable thing in rock and roll.
The Cooper camp, meanwhile, demonstrated that friendship earlier during the tour, according to Alice.
We get along very, very, very well. In fact, in one of the cities, we set up an entire high tea for them, you know, because they're out on the road and they miss England. So we got into their dressing room and there was a full high tea with scones and china.
And Alice tells us the pairing of the two bands has been working out perfectly.
Their shows have been really, really good. Shows have been great. It doesn't matter who opens and who closes. I mean, they're two different things. You know, they've got their own theater, the way they do it. They've got their own image. They've got their own army out there. And luckily, both armies like both bands. So, you know, it doesn't matter to anybody who opens and closes. They're going to get a double barrel shotgun blast of both of us, you know.
Alice comes through these parts most every year, of course. So what can we expect to see differently this year at Pine Knob?
We're doing an entirely new show now. You know, it's Alice's Attic, which is also the name of my radio show. But it's, you know, I always like to have it open-ended when you're doing something like that. Because if you say, welcome to my nightmare, well, anything can happen in that nightmare. You know, we don't have to explain why that happened or why this happened. Same thing with Alice's Attic. I mean, anything can happen in Alice's Attic. So it really gives us the leeway of just making it look like an attic and not having to explain it. You know, if you say Alice Cooper goes to, you know, the rodeo, then you're expecting all Western songs. But when you say attic, you open end it to just about anything.
Alice has also been including some rarely played deep tracks in this year's shows, in addition to the expected Cooper favorites.
I can tell you that there's 7 or 8 songs that we're doing that we hadn't done before. And everybody loves the fact that we're doing those songs. You know, we just kind of like went through different songs and said, what about this? What about that? And the ones that ended up were almost last minute. You know, somebody said, what about Dirty Diamonds? And I went, oh, that would be good. You know, that would be a great stage song. Let's just try it. We tried it, and it was just perfect. You know, what about Dangerous Tonight? I said, I've never done that one on stage. So we did it, and it really, you know, turned into a great little piece of theater. I mean, it's great for us. You know, it's just one of those things where the band loves getting into music that they haven't played before. Because when you get on stage, it gives you that, oh, man, we're doing that new song. Oh, man, we're doing that song. Oh, boy, we're going to do that. You know, that's great for the band. Because, I mean, you know, doing Billion Dollar Babies and Under My Wheels again and again and again. Of course, we're doing, you know, Poison and 18 and School's Out and, you know, those. But I kind of dropped a couple of the standards just to put some new stuff in.
What we won't be hearing at Pine Knob, understandably, are any songs from Alice's last album, The Revenge of Alice Cooper. That marked his recording reunion with original band members Michael Bruce, Dennis Dunaway, and Neil Smith for the first time since 1974, and those songs are meant to be played by that group only. But Alice is still very proud of the record.
The album was number one in like 8 countries. It was really interesting that that album took off so much as it did. I think I got to number 6 on the Billboard charts, which is great for an album 53 years old. You know, I think we'll probably do another album. You know, I can't see why we wouldn't. This one did so well. We might as well do another one. I talked to Bob Ezrin just the other night, and he was talking about it, saying, what do you think about doing another album? I said, it's great with me. Let's find out. We haven't even talked to the guys about it yet. So, you know, it's certainly not a done deal, but I'd be willing to do it for sure.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And of course, Alex is fixated on sports right now with the Detroit Tigers in the Major League Baseball playoffs and the Lions football season off to a good start.
Oh, my gosh. They've scored 120 points in three games. Worst of anything will be in the playoffs.
With Judas Priest, meanwhile, fans can expect to hear a healthy dose of Painkiller, the band's 12th studio album that's celebrating its 35th anniversary this year. It was Judas Priest's first album with drummer Scott Travis and was made while the band was on trial for allegedly incorporating subliminal messages in its music that inspired two fans in Nevada to commit suicide. Judas Priest was found not liable for the fans' tragic deaths, but Halford tells us the stress of that time period factored into the Painkiller album.
It's one of the few albums that we had an agenda for with, because we'd just gone through a little bit of a bumpy time. We did hold the release back of that album while we went through the Reno trial, but that album was ready to go when the timing was right, when we worked with the label and all the teams to say, okay, now let's go, let it go, let it green light. But we kind of looked at each other and looked, who are we, you know? I think it's really important to be honest with each other when you write music, and you all have to agree on how you want to represent your band with the music that you're about to sit down and make together. And I love that about this band. You know, in the right up until British Steel, we were kind of writing separately. But from then on, it became like this trio idea, the two guitars and the singer. And that's just been one of the best moves we ever made in the creative sense. But we agreed. We said, look, we've got to do something here. We've got to really send out a defining signal about who this band is, what we love about heavy metal, what you can do with heavy metal. And it was this case of, we're just going to go like a million miles an hour from the first track to the last track with a little breather in the middle with Touch of Evil. But that's it. That's the agenda. And so off we went. It's an important album. It's an important album for Priest, an important album for metal.
Judas Priest released its 19th album, Invisible Shield, last year, and Halford says he has a specific reason for wanting to do another.
If we did another one, it would be number 20, wouldn't it? I cannot stand uneven numbers. You know, I'm all about harmony and balance, and you can't get harmony and balance at 7 or 9 or 11. I think if we did do another one, it would be such an incredible moment for this band, you know. The 60th anniversary for Scorpions in Hanover, while I'm on stage singing, I'm like, I'm going to do this with Priest. I am doing a 60th anniversary show with Priest. And so if we could get to that place, please, Lord, and if we can get to that place with a new album, that would be just beautiful, beautiful. Regardless of that, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to marry the two up, but I'm just trying to ponder the opportunity to have another great big celebration for heavy metal.
Like many in the rock world, meanwhile, Halford is mourning the passing of Ozzy Osbourne back in July. Because Scorpion's 60th anniversary show was the same night, Priest was not able to perform at Osbourne's Back to the Beginning concert in Birmingham, England. Neither, by the way, was Alice Cooper, who also played on the Scorpion show. Priest, meanwhile, has just released a version of Black Sabbath's War Pigs that it recorded with Osbourne, with proceeds going to a couple of Parkinson's disease-related charities. Halford tells us he's happy his friend was able to have one final triumphant performance before his death.
The way God works, you know. Thank the Lord he was able to do what he did in such a beautiful way at the live show with his own songs and with Sabbath songs. And then all the love that all of those at the bands brought to the event. And then to leave the building. Ozzy's left the building literally, what was it, like less than 2 weeks later?
Right.
What a beautiful beacon to leave behind, you know. It couldn't have been better for him, could it, really, in many ways. So, again, much like we've lost all the other greats, Ronnie and Lemmy and the, you know, the list, you celebrate. You celebrate. You grieve because grieving cleanses the soul and lets you move on and let go. I still can't believe it, quite frankly. I just still can't believe it because we were all still so high and full of adrenaline from watching that show, which I was able to watch after the event. And it was just like a blessing after blessing after blessing. All this talent really reinforcing the songs, the glorious songs that Ozzy did. And then, of course, Sabbath coming together at that moment. It's God's work. That's the I can't think of it in any other way. He was able to get through to that moment, and then it's like he himself was able to say, okay, I'm going to let go now, you know. And that's just so profound and beautiful and sad and full of love and full of joy and the memories. So there we are.
That's Alice Cooper and Judas Priest with Corrosion of Conformity, closing the 2025 Pine Knob season on Thursday, October 2nd. One of the nicest stories to emerge from the Pine Knob season this year came on July 17th, and not just because it was Pantera's first headlining concert in the metro area in 24 years. Opening the night was Snafu, a thrash band that formed during the mid-aughts in Port Huron and is now based in the Detroit metro area. The band is signed to Housecore Records, run by Pantera frontman Phil Anselmo, which Snafu guitarist Scott Kernow tells us led to some great opportunities for his band.
You know, when we signed to the label, we had no idea about this whole like Pantera reformation celebration thing that was happening and stuff. And then even when they said that, we saw the announcement that they're doing that, we're like, whoa, that's crazy. We never even thought, like, oh man, maybe they'll bring us out. And one day they just texted us and we're like, hey, do you want to open some of these shows? And we're like, yeah. this summer was like our third time going out with them. So we got to do a couple summers ago, we did a few of the, you know, amphitheaters around the Midwest, and then later on in the winter, we got to do some arenas with them, like indoor arenas. That was awesome. We got to play Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, which was amazing. That's where the Maple Leafs play, and we're all kind of like big hockey nerds, so really fun to be able to play there. And then, of course, this summer, you know, being able to play Pine Knob was just incredible.
The Pantera opening spot was Snafu's first time ever playing at Pine Knob and was, according to Scott, very special for the band.
Crazy. It's such just an incredible experience and like achievement for us. You know, we, you know, grew up all around the area. So a lot of our first concerts were there and, you know, first like really big concerts and seeing like these larger than life acts in person, like on stage there at Pine Knob. And then, you know, next thing you know, we get to play there. So it was just like such an incredible honor. Being able to have a lot of our friends and family there in the crowd to, you know, be a part of the whole thing, you know, some of our friends and fans that have been there since, you know, the beginning, you know, and watch us grow from playing, you know, the smallest spots ever, like DIY spots, two-car garages, like things like that, the smallest little dive bars ever, to literally one of the biggest stages in the area.
For Scott, it was even more special because he actually worked at Pine Knob for a time.
I want to say like maybe around like 2017, 2018, maybe even the 2019. I was kind of like freelance stage handing around town. So during the summers, you know, I was stagehand there. I got to be, you know, loading gear, pushing gear and setting up the stages and all that and helping with changeovers and, you know, all that, all the grunt work, you know.
Snafu's latest album, its third, came out during 2022, and Scott says it shouldn't be too long before we hear more from the band.
Currently writing a new album and stuff, so we're really close to finishing the writing process and demoing and stuff. So, and then this winter, I think we might, hopefully, we're trying to actually go down to Phil from Pantera, go down to his studio in New Orleans and record this new record.
Once again, that's Scott Kernow of Snafu, recalling what it was like for his band to open for Pantera during July at Pine Knob. To finish up this episode, we spoke to a couple acts coming to town who, while they aren't playing at Pine Knob, have history there. One of those is Don Was, the Grammy Award-winning producer for Bonnie Raitt, the Rolling Stones, the B-52s, Bob Seger, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, and many more. Don is also the president of Blue Note Records, plays in Bob Weir's Wolf Brothers band, and recently formed the Pan Detroit Ensemble. Talking recently, Don shared one of his favorite Pine Knob memories.
Well, I saw Christofferson and Waylon Jennings play together with Kinky Friedman. That was one of my favorite shows of my life. And little did I know that I'd end up doing, you know, actually working a lot with Chris and Waylon. They were just these titans of music, man, and incredible presence. For both of them, incredibly charismatic and both such great poets and musicians. It was a great show. Kinky Friedman was incredible, man. What a triple bill. That might have been my first show at Pine Knob. I took my dad to see it.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Don Was is preparing for the release of the first Pan Detroit Ensemble album, Groove in the Face of Adversity, on October 10th, with a special release concert taking place October 11th at the Majestic Theater in Detroit. The ensemble is comprised of 8 Detroit musicians, including Luis Resto and David McMurray, who was previously worked with in the band Was Not Was. On October 16th, the Magic Bag in Ferndale will host the Mickey Berenyi Trio, whose namesake is best known as one of the founding members of the British band Lush. Lush's performance history in the metro area includes 2 shows at Pine Knob during the summer of 1992 as part of the second Lollapalooza tour, which Mickey tells us she remembers quite well.
It was insane. And, you know, there were things that I thought, I'm way over my head on this tour. Like, I don't know what the hell is going, what are we even doing here? Do you know what I mean? But, you know, yeah, in the opportunity comes along and you grab it with both hands. And I genuinely had a really memorable and, you know, I feel like I squeezed a lot out of the experience, you know. If we're going to do this, let's really do it. So I had a brilliant time. I mean, it was, and also I think there was weirdly a slight kind of innocence to those first Lollapaloozas, because I think even by year, even probably the year after, and certainly the year after that, it was much more, you know, VIP areas. This, you only get to be here. Blah. I mean, when we went, it was an absolute free for all. It was just, it was brilliant, but it was chaos. And everyone was all in the same hotel. There were no kind of, you know, people turning up in their own helicopters or anything. It was just everyone on the road, you know. So I think, you know, that in particular made it really, because there was a real camaraderie, you know. Yeah, some people were a bit snooty or whatever, but after 9 weeks, you know, you pretty much meet everyone and they've seen you drunk and stupid and whatever, like all illusions are shattered and any kind of trying to pretend that you're anything more important than you are is long vanished, you know.
Also coming to town soon is Jason Bonham, the son of the late Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham. Jason has played at Pine Knob with Foreigner and Sammy Hagar and The Circle, as well as with his own Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening, which will be performing on October 29th at the Fillmore Detroit. Jason told us, however, that those shows at Pine Knob, as recently as last summer with Hagar, have always been special to him.
The Sheds always are very special to me. They always will be. I mean, yeah, it's nice to play in arena, and I've done a few of those. This for me, when you get to play those kind of venues on multiple times, that sometimes, because I was doing the Sammy tour, I was playing them twice a year. So I'd be coming and doing it with, which I'd never imagined doing, playing Zeppelin music in an opening act environment without, you know, from when I started the project with the video wall telling stories, I was like, we're on in daylight. How's this going to work? We're just going to be a Zepp cover band. I don't want to do it. And the manager at the time went, trust me, they want to hear the music. And I went, nobody's going to be in there at 7 o'clock. It's going to be not as, it's going to be just like, you know, tumbleweed. And that used to get me every night. I'd come, and especially like to areas like Detroit, and 7 o'clock comes and it's underneath is full. You're like, you know, so it, I am humbled. I can't believe that I'm 59 and I still feel like a child at those moments. And I am lucky. I am just so pleased that I can still get so excited about playing drums. And, you know, as I said, the hardest thing we do as musicians, you know, the gig we do for free, it's we get paid for the being away from home, traveling, and all the, you know, all the other headaches. And but those moments are the shortest moments that you wish could carry on forever. So I feel very fortunate that I could play that music all over the place.
Thanks to Don Was, Mickey Berenyi, and Jason Bonham for sharing their Pine Knob memories with us. Be sure to catch their shows during October in the metro area. And that's a wrap for season 4 of Hello Pine Knob. Hello Pine Knob has been produced by Ryan Anderson for Odyssey and is available wherever you get your podcasts or via the 313 Presents website. 313presents.com also has all the information you need about concerts coming to the company's venues around the Detroit metro area. I'm Gary Graff. Thanks for listening, and it's been a pleasure sharing the season with you. See you in 2026 out on the lawn.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.